Did you know that every day companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data? Your name, your address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. And that's when Aura comes in. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See site for details. Think of these three off-roaders like you would eggs. We have a soft, medium, and a hard. And in this video slash podcast, we're going to take him into Andre's pit. But more importantly, we're going to do it with Andre, who's with me.
Woohoo!
Andre, so we have three pretty substantial off-roaders that somewhat kind of compete lined up against each other. And what are we going to do in this video besides take him into your pit?
Exactly. We have a fun selection, dude. So let's introduce the contestants,
okay,
shall we?
Go for it.
So here, all the way on this side, we have the brand new 2026 Honda Passport Trail Sport. It's in this sunset orange color, right?
I love the color, Andre.
Yeah.
And we're going to call this soft for the sake of this video because it doesn't have a low range.
It doesn't have a low range. It doesn't have a locking differential, right? It does have really off-roady tires, but the tires are not very huge, right? So this is one of them.
And how much? Let's talk about MSRP. Let's not hold it to the end. How much is this guy?
So this guy with a fully loaded package, it's about $54,000, but they start around like 46, 47, right?
And the cool
for the trail sport.
And the cool thing is, and what we're going to find out is Honda has figured out, like the rest of the industry, that people like not just the look of the off-roader, but also its capability.
The substance.
Yes. And for a long time, let's face it, the Passport sort of kind of looked like an off-roader, but it didn't have all the off-road cred. And we're going to actually show you everything that Honda's added to it to make it much more off-roady. So that's why we're calling it soft, because while it does have some of the cred, it doesn't have all of it. What's next?
All right, so in the middle here, this is the medium, right?
Yes.
The medium is the new Toyota Land Cruiser. This happens to be one of the more optioned ones, right? But it's in the middle because it does have those several items we talked about. It has the low range 4x4 system. It has the rear locking differential and a center locking differential, but it doesn't have a very aggressive tire. The tire on this Land Cruiser, it's kind of a all season-ish, right?
Yeah, and we're basically reviewing these the way they came from the factory. So this is the way you would buy it. Now, normally the Land Cruiser starts at what, 58,000 now?
Yes, 58-ish.
But this one as tested is a whopping 70,000, which is still about 20,000 less than the old outgoing 200 series. Many people call this a 250. In Europe, this would be the Prado.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll go inside each one of them. We'll show you all the features, talk about all the capability. And then here, the hard on this side is a new Ford Bronco. This is the four-door. This is also the Everglades edition or trim that they don't make anymore, right?
Yes. So this was a special edition that they built to go mudding, I guess.
Yeah.
But what works for mudding also works, you know, here in the Colorado Rockies. We forgot to mention the color. What's the color in the Land Cruiser called?
So the Land Cruiser is smoky blue. Then, it's a two-tone, gorgeous, gorgeous just combination for the Land Cruiser. And of course, the Ford Bronco here is eruption green. So all of these have kind of fun colors, right?
Now we're calling this, of course, the hard boiled egg or hard off-roader because yeah, not only does it have 35s, it's the only one with 35s.
Yes.
It also has a middle, a rear, and a front locker. It's got a winch from the factory.
Yes.
It also has a snorkel. And you know it's a hardcore off-roader when it's got a snorkel, Andre.
Oh, yes.
It's actually a functional snorkel.
Yeah, and it's also kind of a little bit more adventurous model because you can remove, you know, the top, basically, you know, the front panels and also the rear panels. You can remove the doors a little bit easier than most here in the Bronco.
And you can remove the top.
Yes.
So it's the only convertible of the bunch. And this one we actually bought with our own money because We always have to have an off-roader in our fleet. We paid $57,000 for this, so it's kind of in between the Passport and the Land Cruiser as an as-tested price. So let's do this. Before we concentrate on the first one, the soft-boiled, why don't we go under the hood and show all three of them with what's under the hood. So I'll open up the hood, and you show them what's powering the Passport, please.
Well, this is really fun, dude, because they all have kind of different takes on the powertrain. And they're quite different, and they have different efficiencies and just kind of different setups when it comes to power. So here underneath the hood of the Honda Passport, it's a traditional powertrain, I would say. 3.5 liter V6, it's naturally aspirated. There are no turbochargers of any kind. And it's got a 10-speed automatic. And this engine has 285 horsepower, 262 pound-feet of torque. So not a lot of torque, but nonetheless, quite a lot of power. And the government rates it 19 city, 24 highway, and 21 combined on efficiency.
And it's kind of a ubiquitous engine that Honda uses in a lot of things. You'd find this in the Ridgeline as well.
Yeah.
You'd find it, I think, in the Pilot.
Yes.
So it's in a lot
several different vehicles. Yeah.
And if you hate turbos,
this is the way to do it.
And you hate four cylinders,
this is the way to do it.
Out of the three here, this is the one. And I like this powertrain. Up here at altitude, you kind of want a turbo because we're losing a lot of, well, air density, which means less horsepower, but it's smooth, it's quiet, it's a little growly compared to the other two. It's not a bad powertrain, and you know, it's been around a lot, and it's been around a lot in a lot of different vehicles. So from a reliability standpoint, this is certainly the one that I would cast my vote for.
I would agree 100%.
All right, well, let's see what Toyota packs under its hood. Now, every Toyota starting in 2026 comes as only a hybrid, and this is no exception, Andre.
Yeah, this is the Land Cruiser powertrain, which is a combination of a turbocharged four-cylinder engine. Oh, look, I need a prop stick for this.
And you can tell we've already taken it off-road. It's a little muddy.
It's a little dirty.
Well, of course we're going to take it off-road.
Yes.
That's what we do at TFL.
You should check it out at oldtfl.com.
Yes.
But this is also a hybrid, the only hybrid of these three that we're looking at. And the hybrid, and of course the 8-speed automatic, the hybrid system adds more power, right? So it does add, it's the highest horsepower of the bunch, 326 horsepower, 465 pound-feet of torque, massive amount of torque. And the government rates this at 22 city, 25 highway, and 23 combined. So it's also the most efficient, at least on paper, of the bunch.
Yeah, and all three of these are all-wheel drive. You can have them in all-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive, except for the Passport. That one is only all-wheel drive. You can't get that in rear-wheel drive.
And this is full-time 4x4, too.
Yes.
So the Land Cruiser is a little bit unique in how it kind of positions itself in the Toyota lineup.
All right, let's look under the Bronco's hood. There's two engine options, and we have the smaller of the two, which I got to tell you, it's plenty powerful. We had the first edition, which had the six-cylinder, and personally, I don't miss the power in this four-cylinder turbo.
Yeah, so I think this is kind of a surprise, a pleasant surprise, I would say.
Oh, this one's even dirtier, aren't you?
Oh, this is, I mean...
We're really taking this one off road.
You could tell we own it because...
We don't clean it.
It's kind of a surprise, dude, because this is a 2.3 liter, so the smallest displacement of the bunch. But still, if you use premium fuel, 300 horsepower, that's the rating, and 325 pound-feet of torque, and it is a 10-speed, similar to the 10-speed that's also available in the Honda, but kind of a different orientation, right? That V6 in the Honda is kind of positioned in a cross way, but this engine is in line, so it's basically like a truck, right? So this engine is kind of
lateral versus horizontal, you mean?
Exactly, and a lot of power in this one, very surprising.
So what's the horsepower again?
300.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about fuel economy?
Fuel economy, I wish you would not have asked me that.
Well, we can look. When we get inside, there's a Monroney in there.
Tells me here for this engine is 18 city, 17 highway, and 18 combined.
So it's the thirstiest of the bunch.
Yeah, and it's probably because of the tires, because of how square it is. So probably the worst efficiency here.
Hey, before we go off-road in the Passport and go inside of it, let's look at the back and see how much room there is in all three of these. Because let's face it, if you're buying this, you're not just buying it to go off-road, but you're buying it because of the utility, right? These are vehicles that are often used to carry stuff. And we just actually carried a small refrigerator to the ranch and it fit nicely.
Yeah, so this is the Passport. I mean, it's two rows only, so not a three row. But this also offers a huge amount of kind of a trunk space here, humongous. You also have power here. So in the back, you do have an outlet for 150 watts. Not a lot, but still you could charge something using this outlet here.
And this has a 60-40 folding seat,
yeah,
which, you know, is okay. And then does it have a spare tire? We should always look for that because off-roaders need spare tires.
Yeah, you must. You must have spare tire. By the way, there's a hitch down here on the Honda. The tire, where is it?
Yeah, where is it?
This one doesn't have it.
There you go.
Aha, but there's a solution.
Yeah, our friends at Modern Spare.
Yeah, Modern Spare. It's a really great company because about half of new vehicles actually don't come with spare tires. And if that is a problem and if you really would like a well-engineered spare, check out modernspare.com.
I got a feeling that it needs a spare tire, especially if you're off-roading. You'd really want one.
Exactly. And I'm wondering if, since this is kind of a larger, slightly wider tire for Honda, if that's the reason.
Because of the off-road tire.
Why?
How much does it tow?
5,000 pounds.
But no brake controller.
No brake controller. So we have towed with this, so you can check it out at oldtfl.com. It does have a 7-pin connector, so it's already set up, except you need to bring your own brake controller for the trailer.
All right, well, let's compare that to what Toyota is offering in this Land Cruiser. And we just did a video talking about how successful this Land Cruiser is, because in the past, they used to sell about 4,200 series Land Cruisers
per year.
Per year. Now they sell about 4,250 series Land Cruisers a month, which is a substantial difference.
So yeah, that's a success as far as in any book. This is kind of strange. I mean, also a huge amount of space, maybe a little bit more than in the Passport. But look, dude, there's handles.
There's 10 of them in here.
There's 10.
Toyota's gone crazy with handles. Oh my God.
10 grab handles in this vehicle and cup holders for the third row that doesn't exist.
Well, it exists in Japan. Yeah. And then you lose some space because of the hybrid battery, which is right there.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a bump.
Look, there's a little tiny cubby on
there. Oh, no.
Look how cute that is. And you get your little, like, first aid kit.
Yes.
How cute. Oh, it's so cute. You could probably put a couple chopsticks in there.
Oh, gosh.
And then, of course, I believe this one does have a spare tire. So let's take a peek underneath.
Yep,
this
does.
And then towing rating?
6,000.
And a brake controller.
And a brake controller. So this is actually, I mean, it does cost more money, but it is more capable. You can kind of see there's a spare tire right there.
Wahoo!
There's a cover here that's protecting the hitch. And there's a also wiring here and a brake controller included.
A towing condom, Andre. A hitch condom. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that's weird.
All right, now the Ford wears its tire on its sleeve like an off-roader should, right?
Yes.
It's also the only one with 40s. So you've got these...
You mean 35s?
35, sorry. Yeah. 40s would be something else.
Wow.
Yeah, you've got these massive Goodyear Territory...
MTs.
MTs.
Yeah.
On the back. And then, of course, they had to put the little backup camera poking through the wheel.
Very handy, but not handy for towing.
No.
I mean, this one is not set up for towing in any case, but if you did put a hitch down here, that camera will never see it. So this is not the tower of the bunch.
The other problem that's not great is the way that this opens up. It does this weird thing where it does half the tailgate and then the other half, and then you got to close it in the right direction. And it certainly has the least amount of space of all three of them.
Yeah.
As you can tell. So we've got this interesting feature right here. I never understood this. I never used it, but it's got this tray that pulls out.
Like a little slider.
Yeah, how does this work? Like, does it work like... See, I've never used it. I know, I think it pulls. Oh, maybe it doesn't pull out. Yeah, it does pull out. This definitely, oh, here it is. There
we go. You got it. There's a handle.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I've never done that.
Okay, so I guess this is where you cook your lunch.
No, this is where you do this.
And sit underneath a little space.
Yeah, look at that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
We've owned it for, what, almost a year, and I've never done this, actually.
There you go.
Also, 40-60 split, which is nice. Actually, that's really nice.
Yeah.
And of course, it's like I said, it's the only convertible of the bunch.
So, yeah.
Plenty of recovery hooks back here. This is by far, you know, a very purpose-built machine to go off-road. But you do have a 12-volt back there, and you do have a little cubby over here, I guess.
A little light.
Yeah, a little light.
But the that fully loaded Land Cruiser offers about 2.4 kilowatt of power, and this is just, you know, not very much, but still something, at least, for your accessories.
All right, well, let's jump in the Passport and let's talk about the interior space. You want to, since you're the tallest of us, you want to jump in the back and see how you fit?
Yeah, let's take a look at the Honda again.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about the interior and then we'll take it off-road for all of you guys who are waiting for us to go off-road.
Okay. Do you want to open that rear door?
I think Ian's got it.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, so, you know, one thing about this Passport, dude, is that it's wide enough and big enough for even some of the biggest dudes. Yeah, very nice. Lots of headspace, lots of knee room for me, lots of width. I don't feel like I'm too cramped here.
Look at all those controls back there.
Plenty of...
Is it 3-zone or 4-zone? It's 4-zone. No, it's 3-zone.
3-zone. So there's 2 zones up front and
one
in the back.
Yeah.
Heated seats in the back and USB-C ports. It's 150... watt outlet here. So actually really livable, nice space.
Do these recline, these seats?
I think
it would be back here.
I don't think so. I think they might
hold
actually.
On, let me try this. Okay, that's like that. And then come up. They do not recline.
No.
Nope, no recline.
But it's plenty comfortable.
Yeah.
Let's get in the front, dude.
All right.
Let's get in the front.
This is, I think, one of my favorite interiors, mainly because of three reasons. Number one, I love the color combination of the chocolate with these, you know, inserts in the seats.
It's well done. It's
really well done. I love the fact, that's number one, I love the fact that we have real buttons for everything, including HVAC, including volume, including real buttons on the steering wheel. At $54,000, you get both heated and
ventilated
seats. Yeah. You get a heated steering wheel right there.
That's nice.
And
of course, cruise control, paddle shifters here, nice steering wheel.
And you get very comfortable seats. So I think these are very comfortable. And look at this.
Look at panoramic
this giant
sunroof.
Panoramic sunroof.
You just took this on a road trip to Moab and back, right?
I did. I think I drove like 600-700 miles over a weekend.
Yeah.
Like 300 hours.
So how was that?
It was extremely comfortable. Never felt like I was in any pain, never had any pressure points.
That's really good.
There were some things I learned about it. First, this push-button transmission is a pain in the butt.
Yeah, so they've been doing this for a while, right? So basically a push button here in the center console. Also, this is where the drive modes are down here.
And this is why we called it a soft rotor, because if you show them, I think it'll pop up there. You see you've got these different drive modes. And I'll move the drive mode. So you got Eco, Snow, Trail, Sand, and Tow, but you'll note there's no
like hard rock crawl.
Yeah, there's nothing like that. There's no four-wheel low range.
There's no low range buttons here.
There is a hill descent control, which is nice. And then the other thing I figured out about this, let me show you, is it's got this phone charger, but you kind of throw it like that. It just kind of goes, you know, right on there. And there's really not much.
Is it kind of wobbly?
It's kind of wobbly. So sometimes if you're not careful, you'll do that and nothing really gets charged. And I don't know about you, but these things, like 90% of the time, they work for like 5 minutes and then they stop or they don't work. What is it with this Qi wireless charging where nobody can make it work? Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, I agree. It's really hard to get them to work. I was listening to our friend Sam's podcast, Wheel Bearings. And they were saying that 2.0 standard is out and it has MagSafe magnet.
Mm-hmm.
So that should work better, at least for iPhone people.
All right, and how about the cameras?
I think it's really good. I mean, it's not a humongous screen.
This is also weird, right? This little cut there?
Yeah, why is there a bubble?
I don't know.
But there's plenty of visibility for me. So I think the visibility is good.
Let's see what this one does.
It shows you there's some dirt your side.
I can get rid of that.
Can you wipe it?
I can wipe it, yeah. Is that helping?
It's underneath. Ooh, it's really crunchy.
Did I make it worse?
No, it's getting better. A little bit better.
Oh, gee.
Please don't break it.
I'm not going to break it. This is a long
term. Oh, it's a lot better.
There you go. I got it.
Wow.
So it's just a really pleasant place to spend a lot of time. And then in terms of driving, it drives really well. Now, this is not a sports car. We drove from Moab to Montrose, the back way, and there's some beautiful windy roads. There's some big S-bends, and it does wallow a little bit when you start to get into like these, you know, very swift turns. You can really feel the fact that it's taller, and the tires on this aren't exactly great for, you know, on-road use when you get into kind of like some faster turns. But for the most part, it's a very comfortable ride.
That's nice. Well, now we need to figure out if it's comfortable.
I also figured out the camera button is on the back of the stock right there.
Ooh,
isn't that
sweet.
Crazy? Yeah, that's a little...
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah. I'm not sure I love this little tiny volume knob.
It's very small, and there's no tuning knob. No, how do I tune my radio?
Yeah, there's no, unfortunately. So, Ian, do you want to jump out?
Let's drive it off-road.
All right, so we're going to take it into your pit, Andre.
Yes, and we're going to descend via logs.
Okay.
Correct?
Yes.
So... being that we're calling it kind of the soft egg, soft off-roader, you would think that this should be the most comfortable, right?
You would think. We haven't aired down, of course.
No. And I don't want to air down because...
Oh, gee, this is not comfortable.
Oh, this is not the best.
No, I am getting a lot of... This is not great.
Well, I'm trying to go slowly.
Luckily, the headrest is nice and soft. Because granted, this is pretty extreme.
Yes. So,
but still, it's not the softest.
So maybe not the most. Obviously, suspension travel. Right?
Yes, that comes down to how much articulation we have.
Exactly.
Basically. Luckily, we're going to go up rocks. Now, the good news is they have given it full underbody protection, or mostly full underbody protection.
But here's an issue: only about 8.3 inches of ground clearance. Right. So this is not massive. No ground clearance.
This is not going to be scrape free, I fear.
So I'm going to go straight up here.
Yeah, and you want to show them your little, like, here, I'll show them. So you've got a little inclinometer that tells you pitch and roll, which is nice.
I'm using my camera, so I'm trying to go very, very slowly.
All right.
So kind of crawling speed.
Yeah, and the cameras are actually pretty useful.
Yeah, they are.
I don't like that beeping, of course, but... I'm not sure you can turn that off. Maybe there's a way to turn it off.
My parking sensor.
Yeah, that's always a problem in off-roaders. A little wheel slip there. But it's doing it. You got to admit it's doing
it.
Yeah. I'm expecting a big bang, but no such thing, huh?
I think I may have picked...
the right line?
The right line.
All right, nice.
Hey, that's okay.
This.
But did you see how it was a little jerky?
Yeah,
right? I'm trying to maintain a constant speed. It was difficult.
But this Passport continually surprises, Andre. It always surprises me at, you know, you think that this is just, you know, some like grocery getter or kid mover, you know what I mean? And then eventually you take it into something like the rocks and it just says, no sweat, I can do it.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
But now the biggest test of traction, we have to take it into the trenches.
Do you want to try, before we do that, well, let's try that. I'm curious to approach and departure angle. So we can also do that.
Not great, Roman.
No, you don't want to do it?
Not, afraid of? Not great in this Passport.
So these are the trenches. Or in other words, they're also called elephant steps. And what it does is it tests a vehicle's off-road ability because it gets one or two wheels in the air. And then let's see if it can actually send power to where it needs to.
And this is IVTM4. That's the name of their all-wheel drive system.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's trying.
It's trying. It figured it out.
Also, I'm in trail mode.
Which is good.
Yes. Okay, once again, a little bit of a proximity sensor.
A little bit of wheel spin.
And then it kind of pulls through.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right, well, let's tell Ian, we'll try approach and departure, because this is where it may...
You want to go lava lane?
Yeah, we're going to lava lane. This is a really nice course somebody built back here. I got to thank David for that.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Thank you,
Roman, for naming it after me.
Of course.
This is my pit.
Yeah, this is your pit.
It's well groomed, I would say.
Well, where's Nathan's crack? It's in the harder. It's in the harder off-road course. Yeah. All right. Hey, Ian, tell us if we're about to hit.
So we're gonna come towards the nose here. We're beeping.
We're beeping. Are we hitting?
Not yet.
I think we may make it, Andre. Full on beeping.
Okay, how about my rear end?
Not yet. Close. Keep going.
He's saying close. We're close.
Close in the back.
Nice.
But no hitting. Look at that.
No hitting. So this is actually, it's not a very long wheelbase, right?
No.
Which actually helps.
Once again, it surprises.
And I just applied a little bit of accelerator. The tires started to grab a little bit, and we pulled through.
Yeah.
So that's very nice.
Yeah, that is very nice. So, you know, for a soft-boiled egg...
It's actually pretty good.
It's actually pretty good, yeah. A Honda has done a good job. I think if they gave... Look, a Subaru's got over 9 inches of ground clearance.
Yeah, and come on, Honda.
I know that comes up because it has to do with fuel economy.
Yeah.
The higher you... taller you make it, the worse the fuel economy. But now that our president has gotten rid of all the fuel economy standards, I say you put some 44s on it, Honda, from the factory, and just go for it.
Well, you know, they do participate in the Baja racing, you know, with their trophy truck.
Yeah.
So why not bring that technology into here?
44s and a supercharger.
Yes. Honda.
That's where I'm at with it.
Okay.
All right, let's hit the Land Cruiser and okay. see how that is. I have to say, I think this is one of the best looking ones. And my question for you, Andre, is the Land Cruiser comes either in like these little squinty lights or the round lights. Which do you like better?
Gosh, I think a little bit more old school, right, with the round headlamp.
Yeah.
I think that might be a little bit better.
All right, jump in.
All right, so let's do the same choreography, right? So I go in the back seat first.
Yeah.
So.
Now keep in mind, as tested, we're at 70,000. Yes.
So we're way above as far as price.
We're basically 16,000 more than the Passport.
Oh, wow. Roman, so immediately I can, sorry, I noticed that I don't have as much leg space.
Yeah, is this where you normally sit though? You were driving this, right?
Yeah, but this seat is kind of...
It's all the way back.
It's all the way back.
But look what you do have. Sit up, would you? Look at this.
So yeah, so I can recline. I can sit uncomfortably, or I can sit comfortably by reclining. So I would say very similar amount of space as far as headroom, elbow room, but my leg room is not great.
So less leg room in the second row. How about if I do this?
Oh, that's better.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's way better.
But now you're, of course...
But Roman, look, there's kind of a big hump here in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And Honda, it wasn't as pronounced. I felt a little bit more comfortable in Honda than this.
And we're also looking at three-zone climate control, so there's a zone.
Yeah, so climate control here. We have all kinds of power outlets here. Trying to get a good view. Yeah, so you'll see all that here. All right, let's take a look at the front.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
You want to get it out of the sun again and we can talk about it?
Roman, here, all the grab handles. Do you see this?
Yeah, there's two up front here, which is crazy.
Everybody has two grab handles. Okay.
Now, we have definitely jumped into the medium boiled egg here because immediately there's a lot more going on in terms of...
Yeah, let me turn it around so we're not in the sun.
Okay. Of course, the Land Cruiser is an iconic name. That dates back a long ways.
To 50s, what, 1958?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Because there's a 1958 edition.
That's how I know.
So we have both a heated steering wheel, ventilated, and heated seats, just like the Passport. I like the shifter a lot more.
Yeah, so this is a more traditional console shifter here.
And then we have four high and four low, and a center locker and a rear locker, which is nice.
And also several drive modes, including crawl control. We might be using that actually in the pit. Multi-terrain select. And let me see.
I think to keep it fair, we'll just... This is why it gets confusing, because there's an off-road drive mode and an on-road drive mode. So it's got... These are just on-road right now, I think, that you're going to have access to. So you have to probably put...
So now... Yeah, so let's go over that. So on-road, I have Eco, Normal, and Sport.
Yes.
But then when I select MTS... Now it changes into auto, dirt, sand, mud, and deep snow. So it has more choices, actually.
Yeah, I'd say we go to trail or dirt, which was what we had the other one in to keep it as fair as possible.
Because we do have a lot of dirt here. Yeah.
You also have a camera, backup camera here, not a backup, a digital camera in the rearview mirror, if you like. And then...
here's my camera button here.
Yes. So a lot more different camera.
But also not a humongous screen. Also horizontally kind of oriented screen here.
Pitch and roll. And then let's... How do we change the camera? That's your front.
Actually, you know what?
What?
I'm going to go to four low.
No, no. Let's keep it in the same. Let's
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. I think we can.
Well, we need to demonstrate... We need to demonstrate that.
If you want to put, it's up to you. If you want to put it into four low, put it in four low.
Let's use all our most of our tools.
Now we have a smaller sunroof in this car.
Yes.
And then we also have maybe a little bit better wireless charging. It's not quite as wide. Might be a little bit better, but same kind of issue. So are you in four low?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Actually, that was pretty easy.
Yeah.
I you know, usually in some Toyotas, it takes a while. But look at this. We kind of have a see-through front.
I saw that for the first time.
Sorry. In the Land Rover, right?
Land Rover, yeah. I think it was the Evoque. That was the first time I saw it.
So where they got rid of
it. Now it's on every vehicle. Also, a much more upright windscreen, just like the Bronco. The Passport's a little bit more laid down. You do have a heads-up display on this guy. But I believe the Passport also has a heads-up display, if I remember.
Yeah.
They both have it.
So actually this one, so... You do have more power, more torque. You have a little bit more hardcore, and also body on frame, right? Where the Passport is kind of a unibody construction.
Yeah, I'm not.
This is more trucky.
Yeah, yeah. People like more trucky, but I'm not sure that that makes such a huge difference.
Okay.
Because let's face it, the Grand Cherokee has always been unibody,
That's very capable.
And it's very capable off road. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that necessarily makes it that much better. I like opening windows when we're off-roading. Here's another cool thing. Did you see this? Look at that.
Cool box refrigerator.
Get a little refrigerator. Now, if that's not a Land Cruiser thing, I don't know what is. What do you think of this material? Do you like it?
Yeah, I think it's good.
It's also chocolate / espresso. I think it's really nice.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's pretty attractive. This has a nice on-road feel. We've been driving it for, almost a week now. And I think on-road feel... The engine is a tiny bit buzzy, right? So the engine doesn't feel super, super premium when you're really hard on it, but otherwise the comfort is really great.
Shall we go down logs and see how much head bob
we have? Yeah, we had quite a lot of bob, I would say.
So this should have, body on frame, more suspension, more articulation. This should be more comfortable.
Yeah,
I think this is where you really tell the difference.
And I'm trying to go slowly. Just like we did in the Honda.
It feels a lot more comfortable.
Actually, yes. You know what? I feel like in low range, I have a little bit more control, so I'm not as jerky.
Yeah.
As far as in my motion is concerned.
Yeah, and my head isn't slamming against the back of the headrest. I wouldn't call it comfortable, but...
But it's a little bit better.
It's a little bit better, yes. Yeah. Exactly. How about the seat comfort? What do you think? Okay?
I like it, yeah. I think... It's on par with Honda, in my opinion. I know you really love the Honda seat. I'm a little bit less of a Honda seat fan.
Well, I like it because I spent, like I said...
a lot of miles in it.
Almost 800, 900 miles in it over a weekend, so I kind of got used to it. All right, now here we're going to go up rocks.
And I'm trying to pick the same line.
Yeah, see,
I'm trying to
see how it does.
Very apples to apples.
Of course, the biggest difference between these two are the tires. These are not...
Not very aggressive.
These are all weather. Actually, not all weather. They're all season tires.
Yeah.
I think you can get more terrainy tires on your Land Cruiser if you so choose from the factory. But Toyota supplied us with one that doesn't have them. But, you know, it's doing well, even regardless of that.
And also 8.7 inches of ground clearance. So about a half an inch more than the Honda, but not a tremendous amount of ground clearance.
What is it with the Japanese and these little tiny volume knobs?
You know, I wonder if they get from the same store.
You know what I did when I first got into this?
Yeah.
I pressed the mode select to try to start it. Because
that's kind of how it feels.
Because right there you've got the button for the engine.
Yeah.
Whereas that feels like it should be it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so that's kind of one of the big differences.
So that was pretty good also. No scraping over rocks. It felt pretty confident, and I feel like I have more control.
Now keep in mind, we aren't going into the back part of our off-road course because that would probably mean that we'd have to use a Bronco to winch some of these out. So we don't want.
We're going to scratch things up.
And we're going to, vehicles that don't belong to us, so we don't like to break stuff. But this is, I think, still a good test and a good demonstration of the difference between the two vehicles. All right, Here we are going into the trenches.
Elephant steps.
Yeah.
I also have my proximity warning reminding
me. But a lot less.
A lot less.
Yeah, that, yes. Honda was, you know, squealing like a pig.
This one is a lot more comfortable here.
All right, now you should have more control now that you're in low range.
Yeah. Oh, oh, there's a traction control system helping out.
Yeah, it's figuring it out. And I think this is where the lack of knobby tires is really going to show.
Yeah.
It's going to struggle a little bit.
But you know what? That traction control system is working really well.
I was talking to Toyota engineers when I recently drove the three different off-road Tacomas.
Oh, yes.
And they worked really hard to get rid of that drumming sound in the previous generation. Like you were like in a marching band.
No more marching band.
No more marching band. All right, let's see approach and departure in Lava Lane. We'll test that.
And by the way, we're doing the same route, and turning radius in both of these so far has been really good.
Yeah.
I don't feel like this is, you know, unwieldy.
The one thing I would definitely say that this feels, and it is a much bigger vehicle.
Yes.
There's a sense of, like, especially when you look out over the hood, there's a sense of you're in a pretty big vehicle. And this is, to me, it feels actually smaller than the 200 series in a lot of ways, but yet it's still very big.
But that hood on the Honda is also quite visible from your driver's standpoint.
You also have, if you look to your left, you have a brake controller.
Yes.
Which is sweet.
Yes.
But how much is the total? Only 6,000?
Yeah. But more than Honda.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's really more than a little bit.
Yeah, a lot. Nothing. You know, which tows nothing.
All right, there's the proximity sensors going off.
Are we doing okay, Ian?
I don't think we're hitting.
Yep.
All right, good.
Okay. Now the question is, what about the rear end?
Do we scrape our butt?
Because we do have mud flaps.
We do have mud flaps.
Are we hitting mud flap?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're crunching the mud flaps.
But they're meant to be crunched.
They're meant to be crunched, yeah. I can hear it.
I could hear the mud flap. Now accelerating a little bit up the Lava Lane. It feels like more control, Robin.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit more.
Yeah, I feel like this also has a little bit more like square jaw off-roady cred.
Yeah.
It feels, you know, like it's meant to be off-road. The Passport seems to be like they took an on-road car and made it off-roady, whereas with this, it feels like they went out and designed an off-roader
from the get-go,
both good on and off-road.
Yeah.
Now, I think we're going to find something completely different in the Bronco where, you know, they designed an off-roader that can go on-road, and that's, I think, the biggest difference.
Yes.
And we'll soon determine that. So you'll see the difference between how these three operate. I also love these little round vents. I think that's a really sweet touch.
And also the side mirrors are really tucked in and really nice.
Yeah, and they look like they'd be good for towing.
Yeah.
All right, let's go sit in the back of the Bronco, Andre.
Okay.
Want to show them these wheels, by the way, and tires? This is of course, by far the most off-road bias.
I love the design, dude. The design is great. The tire itself is amazing.
And you got real rock rails. Those have side steps. These are real rock rails.
Yeah.
So they're meant to scrape across boulders.
And by the way, so this one is solid rear axle and independent front, and so is the Land Cruiser. So let me get in the
grab handle, Andre.
Grab handle.
How many does this one have?
Not as many.
I'm counting 1, 2.
1, 2.
1, 2.
Instead of 10.
I feel like we're getting robbed. Only two?
Oh no, on the wing, on the dashboard.
Oh, there's wings, four.
So four grab handles here. So knee room decent.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have enough floor space here. There is also a hump. But it's not as wide, Roman. It's not as wide. You can kind of see that already.
What do you think of this no step right there? That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And this is definitely a dual zone. There's no third zone back here.
No, there's no even vents back here. But you do have power options.
Well, hold on. You've got a big vent right here.
Yeah, you take this off and you have infinite sky.
But no vent like if you're trying to heat yourself in the in the winter. Yeah.
That's okay because it comes from the front. So I would say it's kind of between the Land Cruiser and the Honda. So the Honda was maybe the most spacious. This one is next.
All right.
Yes.
Let's go
in the front.
Yeah. From a pure refinement standpoint, this is the least refined interior by far.
Yeah.
I mean, this is plastic. This is the one where you wouldn't be afraid to, like, take a hose
and hose it down.
And hose it down.
Yeah.
Once again, big screen.
And lots of auxiliary switches.
Yeah, which we actually hooked up to some lights.
Yeah, we have F-150 LEDs on this puppy. So let me turn it around before we start going again. Let me turn it around. Hopefully we don't have music blaring.
Yeah, I'm turning everything off here. But look, unlike the other ones, we have both a volume and a tuning knob.
Thank you, Ford.
How nice is that?
Thank you, Ford, for giving us a tuning knob.
And then, you know,
traditional shifter.
Traditional shifter.
Okay.
Cup holders. You know, the usual sort of things that you would see in a very off-roady car, except for this goat mode, which is, you know, unique to Ford.
Yeah, so this is kind of a all-in-one. So you could twist this.
And then you select whatever you want.
Yeah, so let me show you.
I'll twist it and then you can show them. Okay. So that's normal. And now I'm going to go the other way.
Keep
so you
going.
Get into Eco. Then Sport. Then Slippery. Then Mud and Ruts, which you'll put it into four-wheel sand. And Rock Crawl.
Rock Crawl.
And the nice thing about this is it does everything for you. So let's go into Mud and Ruts, huh?
Yeah. So then it automatically puts me in four high.
Yep.
But then I can also select either four automatic or four low if I wanted to.
And automatically lock the rear?
Yeah, I didn't have to do that. But I kind of don't like that it's trying to think for me.
I love that, actually.
You do?
Do you want to go into four low? Because we did the other one.
Yes, we did.
All right, so just press the four low. I think you might have
to go into neutral.
Yeah.
So there we
go. Four low, four wheel shifting process. Okay. There we go. And now we're in four low.
With a rear locker still enabled. And by the way, we're missing one button here.
Yeah, which sway is bar disconnect.
Sway bar disconnect for the front, which some Broncos have, but not this one.
We're also missing wireless charging.
Which is good.
We have the manual.
The other wireless charging rarely works, so we do have a cable.
But plenty of headroom, which is
nice.
Also nice. No cool box. No
window. No camera mirror.
No camera mirror.
But still, really purposeful. The steering wheel is wrapped, and I can't wait to try this out.
Well, let's go off-road. And you could argue, look, most people, including us, let's face it, even though we do a lot of off-roading, we spend 90% of our time on-road. So why are we buying a car for the 10% of the time, or if you're like a regular person, for the 1% of the time?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, because it's cool, because it looks cool, because it says something about you, right? It says that you're an active person, that you mm-hmm. love being outdoors. I'm going to say more times than not, that is more important than actually how you use a vehicle.
Yeah, and also I would wager, and this is hard to show, right? I would wager that these big tires, we're going down logs now. These big tires, especially if you air them down just a hair, they're going to be comfortable on road as well.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
They're going to be pretty cushy.
Yeah.
Now, this one seems to have a little bit more,
a little bit more toss.
A little bit more toss, yeah.
Than the Toyota.
And you think it would have less because it probably has the most suspension travel and the bigger tire. And the most articulation, yeah. But yet, I think it's not as tossy as a Passport, but I don't think it's as comfy as a Toyota.
Yeah, Toyota, I think they nailed how that suspension works.
Yeah, I agree. All right, and let's try rocks. And see how it goes up the rocks.
Well, this is laughable. I mean, this Bronco has 11.7 inches of clearance, which is three more than that Land Cruiser Roman. So this is a work in the park.
This is taking a machine gun to a knife fight.
Yes. So I can go over these bushes probably without breaking a sweat here, if I really wanted to.
Yeah. And for those of you wondering, this is what it looks like over the hood.
Yeah, the hood is big. But we do have those markers, those kind of little
You know what those are for?
To tie stuff down.
No.
Yes.
No, they're not to tie stuff down.
And to prevent from branches from hitting.
Exactly,
you.
Yeah. So there's like a rope or wire that would go from that, you know, from that little guy to there.
To the top of the A-pillar.
Yeah, and then if a branch were to come at you, wouldn't slap yourself in the windscreen.
But I think they are rated to, like, if you have a canoe on top of your roof,
yeah, you could. I guess
you could put a canoe and then tie it down.
Oh, yeah,
if you wanted to.
And we do have ways to put stuff on this roof. This one of the cool things about this Everglades trim is that it does have these roof rack on top
of it. Actually, all three of these have a roof rack.
Yeah,
so you can be very adventurous.
The downside with that is they're hard to get off the vehicle. And then this one does have the fur or felt up here. So
mouse fur?
Yeah, it does give you a little bit of sound deadening, which is nice.
Okay, so now we should see, Roman, probably the most articulation when we go down, go up the trenches.
This should not create any issues whatsoever. This should just be...
And I'm not even using the front locking differential, actually.
No, this should just be a walk in the park. There should be no tire spin or wheel spin here whatsoever. This thing should just not care. And I think a little bit. There was just a little bit.
A tiny
we
bit.
We got one wheel in the air, but it's barely noticeable.
And also, yeah, I mean, I'm not even... The least amount of drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is also the only one that comes with a winch from the factory.
Yes.
Which is nice. So, obviously, you could put a winch on anything, but it's nice to have it from the factory because it's all integrated.
And also, I don't know if that Honda, I mean, there's not a lot of space in that grill in that Honda. So, I don't know if you could actually...
Put a winch on it?
Put a winch inside of it.
I have to go to the aftermarket for that.
Same thing for that Land Cruiser.
Yeah, all right. And now, of course, we're going to try approach and departure. Once again, this should be
a walk in the park.
A walk in the park for this. I'm kind of torn on this Bronco, Andre.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm a little torn.
I mean, we've had it for many months, like you said.
I love the styling of it.
Yeah.
The interior, you know, you don't feel like you're in a premium vehicle when you're on the inside here. Obviously.
No, you don't.
You feel
but it's purposeful.
Very purposeful.
It's
very
purposeful.
Very utilitarian.
Yeah.
But yet, when you're on the road, it doesn't drive bad.
No.
No.
I mean, it's not a race car, a sports car, like you said. I mean, I didn't even ask Ian anything because I knew we had plenty of angle, approach and departure angle.
Yeah, you would have to put like a tree in front of it before
it would be a problem.
Yeah.
But I kind of fallen in love with this Bronco over the last few months that we've owned it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really glad that we got the Everglades trim. The only thing it's missing, like I said, is the disconnectable sway bar.
Yeah.
But that's not a horrible thing. And it's the only one from the factory where you get the snorkel and you get the winch.
Yeah. Not that you need either one of them, but we've used the winch recovering other vehicles, right?
Yeah.
So we actually have used the winch, but we haven't needed really the snorkel, but the snorkel is well integrated into this system.
All right. So... Andre, I'm going to hand you $70,000.
Yes. Only 70?
Well, that's what this is, 70.
Yes.
So you got 70K now. Do you go for the Land Cruiser? Do you go for the Passport? Or do you go for the Bronco? And I'm going to make this even harder. I'm going to say it has to be for the lifestyle that you have right now. You can't be like you're not guiding off-road. You know,
I'm not Nina Barlow.
You're not Nina Barlow or our friend Eric.
Yeah.
You know, this is your one vehicle to pick up your kids, you know, to have fun on the weekends. Which one do you go for?
My heart, I think, belongs to the Bronco.
Okay.
Yeah. So what did we pay? 55, 57?
57 for it.
57.
Yeah.
So I would have, $13,000 left over in this budget. I just love, you know, the way it drives on the road. It's pretty cushy. I love the adventure of it because you can remove the doors, you can remove the top. Just, I would go for the Bronco, actually.
I'm going to go a different take, okay?
Yes.
If we had the base Land Cruiser.
This one, yes.
Not that one, the base one.
Yeah.
The
1958.
Yeah, the 50. How much is that one?
58,000. Almost identical to that Bronco.
If we had that one versus the Honda.
Yes.
Then I would get the Honda.
Okay.
All right. Because I think you get, 90% of what you get there for less money.
Okay.
But I do love that spec on that one. I love all the goodies, and I love the fact that it's very comfortable. It's body on frame. It's good on road. It's good off road. And at 70K, I know it's a lot more. But here's the thing about off roading, guys. To put everything in there that Toyota has done for an additional whatever it is, 15K, would cost you like 30K. So with off-roaders, it's better just to get it all from the factory and not have to go to the aftermarket. The only thing I'd have to do on that one is put some, more terrain-worthy tires. But I would get that one at 70, whereas if it was the base one, I would get this one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So there you have it, guys. Thank you for joining us. This has been a really fun, I think, demonstration of three vehicles that actually people can cross shop and do cross shop. And where should they go, Andre, if they want to see all of our videos?
OldTFL.com, because we have actually compared these two off-road on a very difficult trail, so you could see that. We've also, you took this to Moab.
I took it to Baby Lion's back.
Yeah, so.
Once again, it surprised me, it did really well.
So if you want to see all that detail, OldTFL.com, you can check it out in one place.
Yep, right, and if you're listening to this and you want to see this, actually just head on over to OldTFL.com, and there you can actually see the YouTube videos. And if you're listening to it, thank you for joining us, and Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, and thank you for all of you who have supported us on Patreon.com/TFLCar. Really love appreciate your support. And we do, when we do podcasts in the studio, you get them first, you see them live right there.
And thank you for our friends at Onyx Off-Road, who we named this course after, because without our sponsors, this would be impossible because, well, let's face it, YouTube is no longer as profitable as it was when we started this, 16 years ago, Andre?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's our next podcast, huh? The monetary business plan behind a YouTube channel.
I think Tommy would be more specialized for that.
Sure.
Maybe you should have Tommy.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you being on the car podcast. And before we close this up, what special thing did you do with the truck podcast? There's something really special in the truck podcast over at alltfl.com.
Yes, so finally we're able to speak about this, right? Because I saw the brand new Ram TRX, right? And also a truck that many of us, especially Case on our team, have been waiting for maybe decades, maybe all his life.
Can I end this with three words?
Yes.
Power Wagon don't care!
Yes, with diesel.
Ciao.
With diesel! Yes, check it out.